I want to talk about knowing God, the importance of knowing God. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your holy and divine word. We thank you for what you have shown us thus far. We thank you for even giving us an opportunity to know you. Oh God, let this message come across clear to the listener. Let the heart be strengthened by your word. Let the spirit be renewed by your spirit. Regenerate us, wash us, revive us, heal us, strengthen us through your word. And we believe it is so in Jesus' name. If you agree, go ahead and say amen. Amen. Now, the prophet Jeremiah, he says in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 through 24, we're still going to look at this scripture because it's a very important scripture. The prophet says the wise person should not boast in his wisdom. The strong should not boast in his strength. The wealthy should not boast in his wealth, but the one who boasts should boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, showing faithful love, justice, and righteousness on the earth, for I delight in these things. Now, as I've already stated in our preface statement for this series, is that to grow in experiential knowledge of God should be the primary pursuit of every believer, since this knowledge affects all of life in time and in eternity. So in this last part of knowing God, I want to talk about six reasons why it is important to know God. The first reason is it is the only way a person can escape eternal death, final judgment, and enter into abundant life now and eternity life forever. Now, let me qualify this by using a scripture found in John chapter 17, verse 3. The Bible says, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Now, it is the only way a person can escape eternal death, final judgment, and entering into the abundant life now and eternal life forever. This is the main reason why it is important. All right, it is the first reason that I want to point out why it's important to know God, because you got to escape something. Come on. Because there is a reality that life is sooner or later going to be over. If you've lived as long as I've lived, and I'm 41 right now, both of my parents are going home to be with the Lord. I've had friends, family, associates who I once talked to and sung in a singing group with and gave hugs and talked to on the phone and corresponded on Facebook. They're no longer here today. It's one thing that I realize is that one day I'm going to check up on out of here. I also realized that I did not get here by myself. There was something outside of me that made me. And that's none other than God himself. He used my mama and my daddy as a vehicle to get me here. But the reality is that one day I am going to check up on out of here. And after that checkup with death, I'm going to be met with a final conclusion. I realize that my life is more than just what you see on Facebook. You see flesh and blood and teeth and lips and tongue. You see my eyes and my eyebrows and my fingertips, and all this are attributed to my flesh, my body, my natural man. But there is something on the inside that is greater than my natural man. It's called life. When life decides that it does not want to use this tabernacle anymore, and I grow weak and I grow stiff, my soul is going to detach itself from my body. My soul is going to continue to live. It's going to live in a different existence, I understand. Now, I have been revealed by the Holy Spirit of God that there is a place. There's a place where my soul can reside. It can reside in heaven with the Father, or it can reside in eternal death with Satan and his imps. I don't want to be with Satan and his imps, because he has already caused enough hell on earth in my life. So I've decided that if there is something I can do that can change my destination, then I'm going to do it. And one of those things, as I pointed out in part one, is to seek and have an acquisition, to acquire and search for something greater. And that greater is none other than our great God, Yahweh, who has revealed himself through his son, Yahshua, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Now, I don't want to face a final judgment on the bad side of God. I want to face final judgment on the good side of God, and that is the cross. I don't know if you know it, but when Jesus died on the cross, he experienced a final judgment on our behalf. That's why he died, and that's why he became sin, so that the judgment of the Father would reside on the Son, that those who have faith in the Son will receive the righteousness of the Son. By faith in Jesus Christ, we are made right with God. And so we escape final judgment by placing our faith in Christ's final judgment that was executed on him at the cross. And we receive that righteousness. And let me just make a side note here that we need to understand that not only did Jesus die for our sin, but when he lived his life, he lived a life of righteousness. That's by earning and behaving and deserving the righteous life. That's why he says he was born under the law, and he lived under the law, and he did not sin. He was without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. So it is important to understand he died for sin, but he also lived for righteousness. So when he died, his righteousness that was already earned and paid in full, that whole righteousness that he earned, he gave it to us on our behalf. And he took our sin on himself on the cross. That's how now we are able to escape eternal death and final judgment, is because on the cross, he took that final judgment. He took that eternal death on the cross. And now by faith in Jesus, we received his righteousness that he earned as living a perfect human being on earth. That's why it's important to understand that he lived under the law and that he did everything right, because it's in his pilgrimage of doing right. It's in his journey of obeying every tick and title of the law. He did not sin. It's important to understand it because he earned righteousness. He deserved the very righteousness of God, and he gave it to us by faith in his requirement. Yes, baby. Give me 1 minute. All right. Praise the Lord. Had to go check on my daughter. Amen. So we need to see in this verse of John chapter 17, verse 3, when Jesus says, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent." That means that intimacy with God is to have eternal life. By faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done, what he has revealed of the Father, gives us the ability to have intimacy with God, the Father. We're now able to enter into the holies of holies. We're now able to have this connection to God that was disconnected by Adam and Eve's disobedience, throwing the whole human race into disconnection from God. Well, Jesus came to reconnect us to the Father. Ah, so intimacy with God is to have eternal life. That's your escape from eternal death. That's your escape from final judgment. And now that's your entrance into the abundant life. And that's your entrance into eternal life. You have eternal life. Hey, Pee-wee, my sister, God bless you. You have eternal life. If you have intimacy with God by placing faith in Jesus and what he has accomplished and finished on the cross, you have intimacy with God. You have eternal life right now. You have abundant life at your fingertips. The next thing you need to understand, that there is only one true God. When Jesus Christ came, I love you too, sis. When Jesus Christ came, he came to reveal to us not several gods. Jesus Christ did not come on the scene talking about, oh, obey Allah. He didn't say, listen to Elijah Muhammad. Jesus Christ came to reveal to us who the Father is. In other words, he came to let everybody know that you can have a relationship with the God of the universe. So he only revealed one true God, who is Yahweh, the Father in heaven. Holy is his name. There's none other like him. He's the only true God. And Jesus Christ came from this true God. Jesus means salvation, Savior. If you look into the Hebrew, it is Yahshua. That means Yahweh saves, Jesus. And there's given only one name by which we may be saved, and that is through the person, the personification, the presence of Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important to understand why he came, why he lived, and why he died. We talk about why he died a lot, but we don't understand why he lived. And then we don't realize why we got now the righteousness of God in Christ. We can live an abundant life now. What does that mean? I'm living undefeated. I'm living undefeated. The devil thought he had me, but I got away when I came in contact with Jesus. There's somebody you need to come in contact with Jesus even now. And I'm telling you, your life will never be the same. You still gonna look the same. You still gonna smell the same. You still gonna have the same teeth. But there's gonna be something on the inside that comes on and it changes your very life. Why? Because he came to reveal to us who this true God is. Oh, glory to God. I pray that you get to know him today. Now, the second reason why it's important to know God is that it is the only way a person can truly know themselves. If I be honest with you, before I met Jesus, I didn't know who I was. My daddy didn't tell me who I was because he didn't know who he was. Because he was still under the deluge of the devil. But I'm so glad that somehow the gospel, it came to me and changed my life. And I began to realize that I was living a life that was outside of purpose and meaning and significance. One of the first things that the Holy Spirit showed me when he came into my life was me. Same thing happened to Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 5. As soon as he saw the Lord, he said, "Woe is me." He said, "For I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips." He says, "And I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips." He says, "For my eyes have seen the King, the host, the Lord of hosts." That word Lord is capitalized in your Bible because it's referring to Yahweh. Isaiah said, "I seen the Lord. And as soon as I seen him, I seen myself." He says, "I'm unclean." He says, "I'm not righteous." He says, "There's something in me that don't add up to you. I can't help but to see myself." I'm so glad that the gospel came and showed me who I was. Because not only did it show me who I was, it showed me who I can be. Isaiah say, "Woe is me." He says, "I'm lost. I'm lost." See, the only way you realize that you're lost is when you realize that there's somewhere you need to be. When you realize there's somewhere that you need to go, that's when you realize, "Where am I?" You don't see the blemishes on your skin until you turn the light on. Have you noticed in the dark you look good because you don't see nothing? But you turn that light on and you look in the mirror, you see crust in your eyes. You see web feet coming into your skin. You see all the blemishes and stuff. Just cut the light off so I don't see me. But when Jesus Christ comes into your life, he turns the light on. I remember there's a commercial with a hotel or motel saying, he said, "We're going to keep the light on." I think it's Motel 6 or something. They say, "We're going to keep the light on." Why? Because as you're on your journey, you're going to need some rest. But you got to see where the rest is. And so he says, "We're going to keep the light on for you." So as you're driving down this dark highway, you'll be able to say, "Over there is where I need to find refuge. Over there is where I need to find some strength and some rest. I need to recuperate and rejuvenate over there where the light is on." That's what happened. God turns his light on and you realize how lost you really were. You was way off path, but glory to God, I can just come to the light. He says, "Come unto me, all." Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. "Who are heavy laden." He says, "And I'll give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you, for it's easy." He says, "Carry my burden, for my burden is light." Glory to God. So we need to understand that there's only one true way that we can find out about ourselves, and that's to get to know God. In the presence of God, you will see yourself for who you really are. In the presence of God, you will see others for who they really are. Isaiah said, "And I dwell in the midst of people with unclean lips." He said, "I dwell in the midst of people." You begin to see others for who they really are. In the presence of God, you will experience true self-consciousness. You're going to become conscientious of God and yourself. Hallelujah. That's what I love about the Holy Spirit. Is when I go down the wrong path and I'm doing something stupid, the Holy Spirit gives me such a self-awareness. And he says, "Is that beneficial for you? Should you say that about that person? Do you think you should go there The Holy Spirit, my relationship with God, it gives me self-consciousness, just like Isaiah experienced. Now look, here's the third reason. The third reason why it's important to know God, because it is the best way of having an accurate knowledge about the world. It's the best way. Now, look in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. The Bible says, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. When you know God and you receive the knowledge of God, now you are able to have a good understanding or an accurate knowledge of how the world should be existing or how you should relate to the world. Now, it's important to be not of the world, but to be in it. And God gives us specifics about the world. An accurate knowledge. And he says, my invisible attributes can be seen in the creation of the world. So what we see reflects who we don't see with the physical eye. We can look at the world and the sun, the rain, the moons, the stars, and the mountains, and we just know that there's something in somebody who's responsible for this. His invisible attributes are clearly perceived by what we see, what we experience in the world. The visible creation reveals the invisible creator. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The creator has eternal power. We know it by looking at what exists. This is great power with such a great magnitude. It's mind-blowing. It's beyond my understanding. The creator has eternal power, and he has a divine nature that is more supreme than what we see, and we can see that clearly through creation. So knowing God is important. Now let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 17, where Jesus is preeminent. Notice what the Apostle Paul writes about Jesus. He says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. It is so important, beloved, to understand that Jesus is the perfect image of God. Jesus is supreme over all creation. The creation was made for Jesus and by Jesus and through Jesus, listen, particularly for his glory. For us to be able to say, this Jesus who we love, this Jesus who we adore, this Jesus who we worship is the very image of God. He came to reveal to us the invisible attributes manifested in the attributes of Jesus. We've seen him. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. We see that all things were made for him, by him, through him, for his glory. We need to glorify Jesus for who he really is. Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, the A portion of this verse, it says about Jesus that he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And we uphold, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. Come on, let me tell you something. When God speaks a word, the universe will come into existence. And so if God can create the universe by his word, what can he create in your life by his word? Or what will he withhold from you? Jesus is the very exact imprint of the nature of God. If we want to know how and who and what God is, all we have to do is study the life of Jesus Christ. And there we have the exact imprint of his nature. When you see Jesus, you see God. When you see Jesus, when you look into the glory of Jesus, you're looking into the dazzling light of who God is. His very nature, glory to God. When you know Jesus, you know God. Why? Because Jesus is God. Glory to God. Now, let me give you the fourth reason, amen, why it is important to know God. The fourth reason, it is essential for a personal spirituality and sanctification. It is essential for personal spirituality and sanctification. In Jeremiah chapter 9, we open up with this verse. It's very important to ponder this verse, to meditate on this verse, because there's something big in this verse. Don't never let this verse go. Allow it to become a part of the fabric of your epistemology. It says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practice steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Listen, intimacy with God teaches us how to love. Notice he says, for you to have a personal spirituality, a personal sanctification by God, God reveals to you his nature. And when God reveals to you his nature, it's not so that you can just look at it, but it's so that you can imitate the very nature that God reveals. So it's important to understand that Jesus is the exact imprint of the very nature of God. And when we look at who Jesus is, we don't just look and say, oh, what a perfect man. We look and say, let me imitate the very nature of God, since now I come into an intimate relationship with God. You just don't want to know him, but you want to become like him. That's the whole point of knowing God. So you can live an abundant life now and inherit eternal life then. The Bible says intimacy with God teaches us true love. Intimacy with God teaches us true justice. Intimacy with God teaches us how to live right on earth. It teaches how to treat people right, how to view people, glory to God, like God. The fifth reason why it is important to know God is because it enables people to be strong as they face the challenges of life. When you know God, God will strengthen you. He will empower you. He will abide in you so that the pressures of life will not crush you, because they cannot crush the power of God. Hallelujah. When he's in you through the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's look in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. The B portion of that verse, we see, but the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. The people who know their God, according to one translation, will do great exploits. Meaning you will not live just existing, but you're now going to live with power and purpose. You're now going to live with dignity and design. Yes, you're going to live with peace. Hallelujah. Just like God. God is not on the throne worried, neither should we be. God is not on the throne stressed out, neither should we be. God is not on the throne afraid of tomorrow, neither should we be. We should imitate the very exact imprint of the nature of God revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 to 36, it says, oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, how inscrutable his ways. This leads us to the sixth reason why it is important to know God. Number six, it generates true worship of God. When we begin to see who God is, we would worship him. Paul says, oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has made known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Knowing God invokes worship of him. Knowing God gives us wisdom. Knowing God gives us the advantage. Knowing God is the most important thing in your life. Hallelujah. Hey! Get to know God. Get to know God. If you don't know, get to know him. 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 Get to know God. He'll work it out. He'll make a way. He'll do it for you each and every day. Oh, get to know God. Get to know God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Get to know God. He'll work it out. He'll do it for you, do it for you, do it for you. He will do it for you, do it for you, do it for you, do it for you. Yes, he will do it for you. God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I pray, hallelujah, that this lesson, these three parts of knowing God, amen, I pray that it has touched your heart. Part one, the concept of knowing God. Part two, the possibility of knowing God. And finally, the one that you just heard, part three, the importance of knowing God. I'm Herbert McLean, Herbie Mac. I'm the encourager, encouraging the world one soul at a time with truth in love. I was created to encourage you. Amen.